because the Bible says that over the years, often God has met with people on mountains. And the Bible is full of stories of the people of Israel, and also then the New Testament with Jesus meeting in places on tops of hills and tops of mountains. And this morning, we're going to think a little bit about a story, one of the times whenever God met his people, and he met them on a mountain. But this isn't some sort of picnic at the top of a nice hill on a nice sunny day. This is a story from the Old Testament that actually is one in which there's lots of cloud, really thick cloud. There is thunder and lightning. The mountain shakes, and there's fire and there's smoke. A bit like this. Any idea where this photograph comes from the last 2 weeks? In Scotland, in the Cairngorms. Exactly, whoa! Isn't that an amazing photograph? You wouldn't have thought that that could be a photograph in Scotland, in the Cairngorms. And perhaps for the people of Israel, standing at the foot of that mountain may have been similar to what they experienced standing at Mount Sinai. There was thick smoke. It said it was rising up like a brick kiln, and boy, the smoke is thick, and there is fire, and the people were round the bottom of the mountain. Now, I'd love you to give me a hand to tell the story of what it might have been like for the people of Israel. And any boys and girls want to come up and give me a wee hand as to how to do this? Brilliant. That is fantastic. Come on ahead. And but this is something for all of us to tell. But I'd love you to stand up. Can you stand up with me here, Rebecca and Riley? Brilliant. That's lovely, Violet. Thank you. Now, can you go like this? Can you go like this? Crackle, 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 crackle. And can you stand still, completely still? Now, can everyone do that? Because this is what we're going to do. We're going to practice this. So the first thing, we're going to tell a story about what happened to the people of Israel. And there's a few actions in it. So here's the first thing, and we'll lead everyone else in this. This is what it sounds like. When you hear the word thunder or thunders, then let's all go like this. Come on, everybody. Let's make a noise. Okay, brilliant. We've got that. That's thunder or thunders. Now, when you hear the word fire, don't run for the exits. When you hear fire, then we're all going to go crackle, 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 crackle. Crackle, crackle. So you ready? One, two, three. Fire. Crackle, 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 crackle. Crackle, 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 crackle. And then whenever you hear the word stand, exactly, stand. Well done. We're all going to stand and we're going to be completely still and quiet. Every one of us. So you ready? One, ready? One, two, three, stand. Did they do well? Brilliant. Okay, have a seat. We'll stay standing. So here we go, and let's get ready. When you hear those words, we'll do the actions or make the sounds. So here we are. Imagine we're at the bottom of the mountain where there's smoke and fire. Oh, sorry. Yes, that's right. Well done. People are awake. That's a good one. Okay. It's the morning of the third day. Thunder is roaring. Brilliant. And lightning is flashing. And a dense cloud comes down on the mountain. And there's a loud blast from a ram's horn. And all of us tremble. Moses leads us out from the camp to meet with God. And we stand. At the foot of the mountain. Well done, have a seat. All of Mount Sinai is covered with smoke because the Lord has decided to descend upon it in the form of fire. Crackle, 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 crackle. and the whole mountain is shaking violently. As the blast of the ram's horn grows louder and louder, Moses speaks and God thunders his reply. Brilliant. The Lord comes down on top of Mount Sinai and calls Moses to the top of the mountain. So Moses climbs the mountain. Well done. Give yourselves a round of applause. Brilliant. You can have a wee seat again. Fantastic. Thank you very much. Yes, if you want to, there's crayons and drawing there. If you want to take a wee drawing there. I imagine the people of Israel would never have forgotten that day. Not just because of the smoke and the fire, and the ram's horn, but also the shaking of the mountain. And the fact was, they've been waiting for days. Moses had told them to prepare themselves, to wash themselves, to consecrate themselves, to be ready to meet with God. So imagine when they got up on that third day, and they gathered together, and the mountain was on fire. And there was smoke, and there was dense cloud, and the violence of the shaking of the earth as the mountain shook. All because God is holy. What do you think it means that God is holy? Any ideas? Any ideas of what it means that God is holy? If you've been to the first service, you'd have heard Stephen speak about the holiness of God. Holiness means that God is different than we are. God is, he never makes mistakes. He never does anything wrong. He never cheats. He never lies. He never steals. And he is ablaze with goodness. That's what holiness means. God is different. There's a moment in the Old Testament where David realizes he's made a big mistake. And he's asked, do you want to go to human beings for mercy, or do you want to go to God? And David says, I'll go to God, because with God there is mercy. And you remember Isaiah in the temple? He saw smoke, it shook, and he thought he was finished. But what was the first thing he encountered, as well as the power of God? He encountered the mercy of God. And he realized that God, in his power, had come to wash him clean and to make him new. And so with fire, he purified Isaiah. Sometimes we think about God a bit like our granddad. A bit like maybe a gentleman who is quiet and is friendly and gives us sweets. My granddad was a wonderful man, and he always had Polar mints and cinnamon lozenges. And he often had a 10p in his pocket when 10p was a lot of money. And I loved seeing my granddad. And in a lot of ways, my granddad reflected God, because he was a follower of Jesus. But God isn't just like a friendly grandfather. He is a holy and powerful God. He is the God of Mount Sinai, where the people met him holy, 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 in smoke and fire, cloud and thunder and lightning and in an earthquake. And the Israelites were terrified. They trembled before God that day. Has anyone ever met a lion you've met a lion. Where did you meet a lion? Safari in Kenya. Did you get out of the van and give it a wee stroke? You did not? Okay. Have you met the lion too, Rebecca? You were there too? At the zoo? Brilliant. I was watching a program, I only watched about 2 minutes of the other night. It was with that actor, was he called Idris Elba? Is that what his name is? Called The Beast. I turned it on for a few minutes and he was underneath a Land Rover and there was a huge lion who was trying to get at him. And I thought, I think I'll watch something else. But the fact was that this lion was ferocious. When you're on safari or at a zoo, you don't go in to pet the lions. There's a series of books written by C.S. Lewis, you may know them, about Narnia. And the first one's The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And in it, four young human beings meet Aslan. And this picture is someone's imagined picture of the lion Aslan in the Narnia stories. And there's a moment whenever one of the children is talking to, I think it's Mr. Beaver, and they hear about Aslan. And one of the girls says, "Is Aslan safe?" And the beaver laughs and says, "He's not safe, but he's good, I tell you." Sometimes we want to treat God a bit like a domestic cat that can be stroked. But God's not like that. God is like Aslan, the lion. And I'm very glad that he is, because in this world we need a powerful God. We need a holy God. And in the Old Testament particularly, we see powerful glimpses of what the fierceness of God looks like. The amazing thing is that the safest place to be is under the protection of God, the Lion of Judah. And the Israelites, one of the reasons why they were terrified was not just because of the fire and the smoke and the shaking mountain and the fact they'd been waiting for days to meet with God, and all of a sudden there was this wow experience of the power of God. It's because they had seen what he could do to the Egyptians, the most powerful military nation on earth, and God had humbled them. Can anyone remember some of the things that God had done to the people of Egypt? Do you remember what happened when there was the Moses and the people of Israel came to the edge of the Red Sea? What happened? The sea was opened and they went through on dry ground. What about when they're in the wilderness and had nothing to eat? Manna and quail. What about when they were thirsty and needed water to drink? Where'd the water come from? Came from the rock. And what about before that in the 10 plagues of Egypt? The 10 plagues are all about God exercising his authority, executing judgment over the gods, the so-called gods of Egypt. And so in the first plague, God turned the water of the Nile to blood. And in doing so, he showed that the Egyptian gods, Osiris and Hapi, were just completely empty gods. They were false gods. Because Osiris, the Egyptian so-called god, he was the one who said that the Nile was the lifeblood of Egypt. And Moses turned the water of the Nile to blood. And then there were all the different animals, the gnats and the flies and everything else. And with every one of them, there was an Egyptian god associated with one of those animals. And God showed that the gods of Egypt were no gods at all. And then came to the ninth one. And the most powerful god the Egyptians thought was the god of Egypt called Ra. And he was the sun god. And what did Moses do? He said, there's going to be darkness for 3 days. And the whole place fell into darkness. And then the final plague. Pharaoh saw himself as a god, God in the flesh. And Moses said, your firstborn son and every firstborn son of Egypt will die tonight. And the people of Egypt and the people of Israel saw that the Pharaoh couldn't even protect his own family. And so they said, go. Because they knew that every single god of Egypt had been judged and found wanting. So the people of Israel knew that God was a powerful, powerful God. And so when he appeared to them in fire and smoke on the mountain, they were terrified. And they were terrified as well because they heard what the Ten Commandments were. What did this holy God expect of his new holy people whom he'd rescued from slavery? And he gave the Ten Commandments. And the first commandment is, I am the Lord your God. These were the people of Israel. He said to them, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods but me. What was the second commandment? Anyone listening to Alistair's reading? What was the second commandment? You shall not make for yourself any idols. And the third commandment, you shall not dishonor the name of the Lord your God, because the Lord's name is powerful. And can anyone name two of the things that God commanded people of Israel not to do to other people? You name two of the things that are bad things you can do to other people? Murder, covet, steal, adultery, and lie. Five things God says, don't do those to each other. Final question. How many of each animal did Moses bring into the ark? Noah. It wasn't Moses, it was Noah. Well done, you're all awake, that's good. Moses was a powerful mediator between God and the Israelites. But he didn't live forever. He wasn't perfect. He couldn't change people's hearts. He was pointing towards an even greater mediator, Jesus Christ. The one who is perfect, who is the greater Moses. And so there's a verse there from John's Gospel chapter 1 that goes like this. From his abundance, the abundance of Jesus, we have all received one gracious blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. Moses climbed the mountain. Jesus came down from heaven. Moses came to declare the law of God. Jesus fulfilled the law of God. Moses spoke God's words. Jesus is God's word in the flesh. At Sinai, the mountain shook, and the people were terrified. Today, as we meet with our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ, the word of Scripture is not be careful, stay away, the invitation is come close. Because Jesus Christ gave his life for us, died in our place, took the holy judgment of God upon himself, and bore our sins, we can come close to God. We need not fear. But God hasn't changed. God is still mighty and holy and powerful and pure. He is still the Lion of Judah. He is still the God of Sinai. But because of Jesus Christ, we can come close to him. Stephen gave a wonderful illustration in the last service that God is like the sun. As you come close to the sun, you realize it is powerful. Everything is burnt up in its heat. And God is like the sun. He is pure and powerful and holy. And in Christ, our sin is burned up. By being in Christ, we are washed clean. And so today in communion, as we come, we receive bread and wine. We recognize the fact that we can only meet God because Christ gave his body broken for us and blood poured out. And during communion is a time as well for anointing with oil to assure us of forgiveness, to receive Christ's healing, and to be equipped by the Holy Spirit to live as God's holy people. Jesus, we know, described himself as being gentle and humble in heart. But he was also the one who stood at the prow and bow of the boat and said to the raging storm, "Be still!" Who said to the demons, "Be quiet!" Jesus Christ is the Holy One of Israel. And he says to us, do not be afraid. But we approach him as C.S. Lewis showed, like human beings approaching a lion. A lion who is ferocious and holy. Gave his life for us and rose again from the dead. And so when you and I encounter the darkness and the sinfulness out there and in here and the brokenness, whether the brokenness and corruption of governments or of institutions or of traffickers or drug dealers or paramilitaries or whatever it is, we remember that we have a God who is stronger than them all. And thank God that that's the case. And so when we pray today for wholeness and healing and filling with the Holy Spirit and for forgiveness for our sins, we are praying to a holy and powerful who has overcome our sin, can deal with our sicknesses, and has overcome death itself. And we give thanks to God that that is who our God is. And we're invited in Jesus Christ to come close. Because we are God's church, we are God's holy people. And so he sends us out to say in the midst of storms, whether they're social or economic or military or to do with the climate, no matter what the storm is, whether it's in the relationships of our lives, or sickness, or financial difficulty, or the disappointment of our lives, the Lord calls us in Jesus' name to stand with confidence and say, in the midst of storms, be still in the name of Jesus. To say when we're faced with the demonic, be quiet. During this last week, I've seen moments where there has been great hope and great healing. And I've seen places of great despair. At a funeral service on Friday of a 19-year-old young man. And hundreds of young people in their late teens and 20s, despairing, wondering if drink and drugs are the answer to the pain they feel inside. But also seeing how God is at work in those situations. A number of months ago, I know that Michael and Terry invited a young man in, and quite often we see people come in here. I'd say in the last 3 months, I can remember a number of people who have come in under the influence of drugs or drink. And our wardens and welcome team do a brilliant job in welcoming them. And we have had the privilege to pray for people and to see people come to faith in Jesus Christ. And in May, that young man, 19 years old, came to this service. He went to the back of church and was anointed with oil. And he received the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. He began to experience the healing power of God. Our God is a powerful God. Our God is a good God. And thank God that God is holy and powerful. And when we encounter Him, we realize how powerful He is. But He never uses His power for His own ends. He never uses His power to make the vulnerable feel even more vulnerable. He's the one who lifts up the lowly. And He's the one who steps into places where there is oppression, and He takes the oppressors down. And the people of Israel had seen that happen to Egypt. And so they had a reverence and fear of God. But they were people who were freed slaves. And God was on their side. And God said, "You be my people and I will be your God." Well, we too are freed slaves. Freed from the slavery of sin. And so humbly we declare, God is our God. And so into our lives and workplaces that we go today and this week ahead, no matter what darkness or injustice or difficulty we encounter, no matter what sicknesses or death or disappointment or shame or guilt we encounter, whether it's in our holiday clubs, or going to school in September, or college, or our workplaces, or wherever it happens to be, we go as the holy people of God who believe in a holy and powerful God. And we go to declare forgiveness and justice and healing and hope in our families, in our neighborhoods, and in the city and beyond. Our God is a holy God. I'd love us just to spend a moment in repentance. Whenever we encounter the living God, we experience his awe. We recognize his holiness, his purity. And we also recognize that we're not like him. But in Jesus Christ, his image is being restored in us. We are children of God. Let's pray together.